Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Roy Keane is the type of guy to tell someone to man up.
Oh no, this is the one. Right.
Already.
Okay. Already. This is the one I might need to cut out. Let me know in the chat. I put it at the top, I didn't think.
All right.
Can I
decide whether it stays or goes?
Yeah, you can see it, can you?
Roy Keane is the type.
It's fine.
Yes.
Is everyone all right? Does anyone want to say anything before we begin?
I just want to say morning slugs, but more specifically, any dogs out there?
All the dogs.
All the dogs out there. It's getting so confusing.
I'm so confused. Right, let's begin. Welcome back, everyone, to the James and Flav For Now podcast with me, James, and Flav, who apparently, according to Danny Galloway in the Patreon chat, has a fringe like an enforcer midfielder from 2004. Happy with that?
Yeah. It doesn't make me feel anything, really.
You got some comments about your hair being good last week.
I just didn't put any gel in it like this week. It's got to a point where, are we really talking about this?
Today's podcast, we've got a title because I've got three pages of people telling me what Roy Keane is like. Roy Keane is the kind of guy is littered. So thank you for that. Comments were very strong last week. There's one Roy Keane is the kind of guy that I will say, if you see a jump cut in this podcast, it's because the rule is if I laugh out loud, I have to put it in. I laughed out loud, so I'm going to say it. But if it's like, I'll let the patrons decide, that's too far, probably cut it out. That will be a decision that we will need to make.
These are the patrons that are the moist slugs that are watching now as we record this as live for them.
Yes. More on them in a big way later because for those of you who don't know what a slug is, stick with it. I'll try and explain in a bit, but there seems like there could be a possible revolution occurring. I don't know. We'll dive into that. Got some great quotes. We've got someone's satisfied your need to have a story about a crying child.
Oh, good.
Which again was one of those moments where I just like, I typed the header for the running order, crying children. we've got lots of Roy Keane. We've got one or two. Try to lower it down so you could hear that one. Derby games. And actually, even in the Derby games, people were turning on each other now as well, which is interesting.
What's going on in our community? Like, they used to be so...
We need to keep an eye on it because there's things are brewing.
Yeah.
I have no football chat in there at the moment. I've got one calm take from someone which we can talk about. But you know, I'm happy to talk about QPR because the boys are flying right now. Hence the QPR shirt today. I saw it there, I thought, yes, I'm gonna pop you on, let people know Allcourt's a winner.
Anyway. Mate. What you're doing this? One of the your trends on strands rather is like talking about games that are happening.
Yeah,
City, Arsenal getting beaten by Villa.
Yeah,
we're a part of one of the most mental games I've ever watched, and there's nothing on your channel.
Yeah, I was watching The Handmaid's Tale, wasn't I? The missus, so didn't.
Oh, you got a trade off. How much football you
got to be careful. Always thinking. Like, I don't know. Some people have the diary written down. It's all up here. And actually, I snapped her. I snapped her flam the other day. She went. She went. Because you know what I'm like, I think about things. And so I'm thinking like, what am I doing tomorrow? What am I doing tomorrow? Okay, right, I've got this and then I can do that and then I'll get this done and I'll be able to stream at this time. And that then fam, we woke up, fam goes, fancy, lovely day today, fancy a walk? And I went, fam, you can't do that. You can't do that to me. I have plans in my own head. You can't just do that. I went mad at her. She was like, just thought it might be nice to go for a walk. No, I've got to let people know about my problem in Manchester City, which isn't really a problem. It's just a good title. Anyway,
so do you have to set aside days for like your alone time?
No, I just want work? I want there to be balance in our relationship, and so I need to invest in our relationship. So I'm always thinking, I don't really consider this work a lot of the time. So I'm thinking, right, if I can do this game or that game. So, for example, Man City Spurs. I was looking at, what are the games this week? Man City Spurs, 5:30. So over the weekend, I said, fam, I'm going to need to watch that one so I can do a little video on it. But Sunday, the games are so-so. So I will spend the day with you, which fortunately coincides with it being Valentine's Day. You know, so that was fortunate. That worked out, but she doesn't know that, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, but also, Jim, you spent a long time. You know, you'd like to watch more football because you bloody love it. But naturally, in a relationship where only one half likes to watch football, it's you can't all the time. It's if you're not into football, it's one of the most boring things to sit through of anything. So you understand?
Yeah.
Generally, in a relationship, hang on, in a relationship that you have to give and take. But what you've done, Jim, you're a genius, right? You've just created a career for yourself that means you have to watch lots of the football.
Yeah. To be fair, even she's like, what's going on? It's on again. Like, because before, like, most people that aren't into football have gone, okay, right, Saturday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like Tuesday? What's on today? I was like, you're completely right. So much football. It's mental. Absolutely ridiculous. It's all about that give and take. My dad's always like, my dad gives a bit, he goes, get it in the calendar quickly. Yeah. Get it in early. Make sure you get it in early. Anyway, quotes of the pod. last week was mental.
Was it?
Yeah. Like, fam walked in on me.
was that on here?
Yeah. She sport a really good link, to be honest. I said, I was going to go from fingering to lingering, but she came in on fingering. Sounds awful. Anyway, but that was funny. Go back to last week's pod if you've missed it. It's very funny. And actually, a little quiz for you guys. I've got something to the right of me. What is it? Let me know in the comments below. See if you can guess it. Hang on. Is it there already? No, it's not. Right. I've got something here. I'll give you a clue. Listen. What is it? Football podcast.
Do people care?
I think they do. They liked it last time. Okay, right. Quote to the pod. Actually, do you know what? There's so many Roy Keanes. I'm going to have to get through a few now.
Right.
Roy Keane is the kind of guy. Flav, who would you like it to be next week?
Do a couple and I'll think of one.
Okay. Roy Keane is the kind of guy. So Sean Hines. Roy Keane is the type of guy to tell someone to man up. Oh, no, this is the one. Right.
Already?
Okay, already? This is the one I might need to cut out. Let me know in the chat. I put it at the top, didn't I? I put it at the top, I didn't think.
All right.
Right.
Can I decide whether it stays or goes?
Yeah, you can see it, can you?
Roy Keane is the type of guy. It's fine. Yeah, it's just criticising Roy Keane, isn't it?
Okay. Right.
Go on, read it.
Sean Hines. This is Sean Hines who said this. I'm just rereading it. Roy Keane is the type
of
guy...
Don't flip this up.
Roy Keane is the type of guy to... hang on. I need to make sure Sean Hines is in the sentence, otherwise they're going to get me. Sean Hines says that Roy Keane is the type of guy to sell someone to man up after just being paralysed.
Yeah, he could have gone fuck with that, couldn't he?
I mean, maybe.
Paralyzed to me is quite tame.
Is it?
Could have gone for anything.
Right. I look forward to that podcast that you do with the guy who's paralyzed and ask him, seems a bit tame to me. You seem all right.
I'm not saying being paralysed is tame.
Yeah, I would say it's the opposite of tame. I think it's a very, you know, probably difficult life to lead.
What I'm saying is, in the interest of a good joke, you up the ante a bit more, I think.
Okay.
Do you have a fear, Jim? Do you have a fear of diving into a shallow swimming pool?
I know someone who did that, and her nose was like completely smashed up, and it's like her nose is like that now. And I never knew her before, but she was like, I don't know how she brought it up. I hope I didn't ask at the time. I was young. I was like really young. But yeah, I think someone asked her or something. Terrible, really.
What is going on with your nose?
Yeah,
that fear of diving. I have this thing of diving into sea and a rock being just below the surface. Fucking rank.
Yeah, that's horrible. Right.
Just don't dive into a swimming pool. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
It looks good.
Always
it?
Go feet first.
Always looks. Diving into a swimming pool will look so much cooler in your head than it does in real life. You know, you go. How good was that? How good was that? I tell you what, actually, take my phone. Get out of slow mo. Get out of slow mo. And it's not, is it? You're just like a little whale.
No, your feet.
Your feet are all like that. Yeah, your feet are like that. How was it? Was it good? You watch your back, you go. Just put your phone down. a lot of fam chat today, but fam can't dive. It's the cutest thing. Bless her. She tries. She'll give it a go. She can't get her head around the idea of diving. She's just like, so she just goes, she ends up dying. So imagine that's a person. Like, so it's a palm for anyone just listening. Like, imagine, so when she dives, she'll go like this. She'll go like that. She'll just go, she just can't do it. For years she's been trying. Everyone's been trying to teach her. She can't do it. Anyway.
Can't dive.
Far more nuanced here. David Hill. I used to go to school with a guy called David Hill. Anyway, Roy Keane thinks a peppered sauce is spicy food. He's that type of guy. It's quite nuanced.
Good.
Sean, Roy Keane is the type of guy to look the cashier dead in the eyes and say, I want the receipt for that too, before they've had a chance to ask him if he wants the receipt. I think just every scenario of Roy Keane is just so intense. Imagine being married to Roy Keane. Is he married?
I'm sure he's. Yeah, I'd imagine so. He knows what people want from him, don't he?
But he was like that before, though, isn't he? Do you think he's dialed it up?
I think a little bit, because he's doing adverts and doing all kinds of things now, and that isn't someone who wants to shy away from the limelight. It's someone who understands. Roy Keane knows what he's doing, knows what he's created for himself. Therefore, he plays that out. I'm sure he doesn't go home and just go stares at his wife. Would you say?
I mean, I feel like he is, though. Can you imagine? Like, you know, like we've spoken it before, like on the mailbags and stuff. Like, I was a runner at Al Jazeera Sport. And so, like, Souness and Lineker and Shearer and Ruud Gullit, all these guys were there. But Roy Keane wasn't there at that time. I think he was still managing. I would have been so afraid. I would just not speak to him if I'd had to be a runner.
Who was the best person you worked with under Al Jazeera in terms of footballers?
What, in terms of being nice?
No, yeah, are they nice or?
Alan Kerbishley, absolute legend. Curbs and Houghton on a Thursday, Europa League. Oh, lovely.
Oh, God, really? Alan Kerbishley and Ray Houghton?
Yeah, so Alan Kerbishley is so great. He's so nice. He'd go, like normally you give them their food and then you get out of the studio and he'd go, nah, sit with us. I was like, I fucking love you so much.
What did you do? Did you go, yeah? Really?
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Budget, Ray.
You can fuck off, Ray. No one gives a fuck about you.
Yeah, yeah. That goal in 1994. Oh, God. He shanked that, didn't he? If you're a bit older, you wouldn't know about Ray Houghton in 1994, but most Irish people would be getting very angry right now. Ray Houghton scored a great goal against Italy to beat them, but he shanked it and thus lobbed the goalkeeper. That's how it happened.
Yeah.
There are some goals there's some goals that like Rooney's bicycle kick came off his shin. Man United fans would be going, no! Calm down, right? It's just a fact. Yeah, it's a great goal, but it did come off his shin. He missed it.
It's not, there's no, look, we all appreciate what a great goal it was. We're just saying He's lucky. He got a bit lucky, didn't he?
He's fortunate. No, no. He's in that scenario, he's fortunate.
Yeah. Let's all just, as football fans, just take a step back, right? Just take a step back and think, sometimes goals that you love might have an element of luck in them.
Yeah.
It's not to take anything away from Wayne Rooney as a player. We're just saying that goal against your biggest rivals in Manchester City was a fluke.
Yeah. And please stop showing replays of it, because it's, you know, you're not showing the best of the Premier League there.
You're showing a 6 out of 10 goal over and over again.
Yeah.
Can anyone in the comments let us know famous goals that were actually a bit, you know, they're really overrated.
Ricky Villa, Spurs goal. It's terrible. It's a crap goal. It's a crap goal.
What are you talking about?
I spent 15 years going, oh, Ricky Villa, that was a really good goal, wasn't it? And then I remember seeing it a bit old. I was like, that is shit. Do you know what? It is a great goal. Doesn't get a...
that is shit. Have you ever seen a goal like that again?
What, beating one man and then passing it into the corner?
Yeah. Beat one man. I don't care.
He's riled. This just in from the patrons. Thank you, patrons. This is Louis. He's married. Roy Keane is married. Who knew? Yeah. Is the audio okay, guys? Just to say, is it too loud or whatever? Let me know. okay, Roy Keane. I'm just going to rattle for a few here, because we'll have to come back to it. Dominic Green. Roy Keane is the type of guy to give his opinion on how best to do any DIY job whenever it comes up in conversation. Yeah. Or he'd probably just tut his head, wouldn't he? You know how I feel about that, Flav. You know, the DIY thing. The kind of like, well, is that a Jimmy Bobby screw? Is it?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? I've told you, like Dom and Craig are the same, and they're like any new house or place that they'll go to, they'll go, yeah, you could go through that. Yeah, I think you could go through that. I do DIY shit. Roy Keane. Jay Cartwright. Dominic Green. For anyone struggling with DIY conversations, I think I might have said this in a mailbag, but just in case, the thing that you will need to do is nod knowingly and say, yeah, that's very common. That's what you need to say. If you say, yeah, it's very common, they will never go, well, is it common? They would never challenge you on that. And if it is common, you've kind of already belittled them anyway, so they'll just move on to the next thing. So if you are struggling with DIY chat, just say that's very common, I think.
No matter how well you do in your life, Jim, right? You can't, as a man, escape the feeling of inadequacy and emasculated, because you don't know really how to do DIY in the house.
Yeah.
All right. You could be a millionaire, but if a plumber comes in and can fix a toilet, you're like, that's a proper man.
Yeah.
My hands are too soft. Feel my hands feel like a girl's.
Yeah. Says that as well.
Use my brain, not my hands.
Yeah.
Use my brain.
But exactly.
I'd like to be able to go and go, yeah, fucking sorted.
I know. We've got what have you made? What have you won? I think what have you made?
What have you won?
It would be. But I think what have you made would just never work in this podcast, because both of us go, piss off.
Not a lot. What I have done, is when the missus went to work, I did two things in one day. And honestly, it felt like the greatest achievement of my life.
It's great.
It was like when I got a job at Bull Street, or when I signed my first contract, big contract, since leaving Bull Street. Those are significant moments that changed my life. Neither of those things made me feel as good as fixing there was a little shelf where it was broken, basically. Too much detergent and shit had been put on it over the years. It popped down. I took everything out, took the shelf out, put a couple of screws in there, used my noddle, put a couple of screws in, and put it back in. It works fine. On the same day, James, I changed the cold water filter, calc filter, Jesus, this is low, isn't it?
What a man, a good man. Don't. You're a king, mate. You're a king.
Do you know what the best bit about it, Jim? The best bit about it, Jim, though, is it was all calked up because it needed replacing.
Oh, calked up, was it? And yeah, it's very common.
I had to get a screwdriver and jimmy it off, and that was actually manual work.
Yeah, that's very common. God. Fam, I did, when I was 18, I used to I was the captain of this cricket team, and the lad who played in it was had a labouring firm. He was older. And I said, oh, you haven't got any work in it. So I did a day's labouring with him. And I bring it up to Fab all the time. She's like, what did you do? And I was like, some booth cement and that. It was great. It was great. Labouring. I was like, how much labouring have you done? Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, zero. Exactly. Just be quiet.
Jay Cartwright, yeah. Roy Keane is the type of guy to tut loudly when he sees the groom crying on his wedding day. You can see, that's it. Father, imagine being, he's the father-in-law. Poor. Just gets a bit emotional.
That's good.
Joe Hughes, Roy Keane is the kind of guy to send off his own kid when he referees his game. Owen Charlton, Roy Keane is the type of guy to have his life saved by a doctor, only for Roy Keane to say, that's your job, isn't it?
that's your job.
I can't do Roy. He's got nothing. He hasn't got the time to invest in goalkeepers. So he just goes, that's your job.
That is such a good... That's your jab.
That's you. It's sort of like not loud, is it? He doesn't say it loud. He's exasperated, but it's not loud. But that's your jab.
Do you remember the thing you got? It was the Aston Villa celebrating in the changing room because they stayed up. I did agree with it. That they're staying up for celebrating for being the 17th best team in the league.
Yeah, but come on. But the expectations were to finish 17th, wasn't it, at the start of that season?
They needed to sit down and self-reflect.
And yeah, yeah.
By the results this season, they have done that. So you're welcome.
Yeah, well, yeah. Also, Dean Smith, full whistle's gone. Yeah, no, we're fine. We're fine. Get your journals out, guys. Let's jot down how we're feeling. We thought about how we can improve the next year. No, I don't. Not sure.
Oh. My dog's having a little sick up. Can you hear that?
Right, I think that's a good time to pause on the Roy Keane thing, and we'll go straight to quotes of the pod, because I reckon that might be in there.
A little sick up. You're a little sick, Frank.
You're a little sicky.
A little sick.
A little sick.
Yeah.
You're sick on the... You're a little sicky. You're a little sicky, do you? But
Frank, you're a little sicky. He's looking at me like, what is that? Frank, you're a little sicky on the...
Little sicky, was it? Little sicky, little sicky. Oh, little sicky. Oh, little sicky. You're gonna eat it later. Frankie. Boy, he's so confused. Okay, right, quotes to the pod because I reckon that might be in there. Daniel Burgess, quote of the pod. I don't understand 11-a-side games. I don't understand it. Football podcast.
Just don't understand it.
Oh, that's great. 63 likes. 63 likes.
I can't take it back.
No. All right, fair enough. Oh, shit. All right, guys. Actually, I will be unveiling what was on the right-hand side. It was... You'll like this, Flav. There's a pot. A pot of mint tea.
Fuck me. What do you think Roy Keane would say about that?
Yeah, he's got no time for mint tea. What do you think... How does Roy Keane have his tea, do you think? 8 sugars, I bet he has. Just to prove a point.
Just be black, wouldn't it? You'd just have black tea, no milk.
I think he'd have... I'd really have milk, 8 sugars. And they go, 8 sugars?
He goes, yeah, you heard me.
I said 8 sugars, didn't I? Go get it. That's your job.
That's your job. That's his job.
Quotes of the pod. Christ. Mark Matthews. 78 likes on this one.
Good.
There could be a bloke, a bloody bloke, wearing female Jean-Paul Gaultier. I'd let him have a go of my bum, probably. Probably.
I'm not saying, because if you don't say probably, it's just like, it's, I've got to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, just to let it percolate somewhat.
Just so we're clear, if it was a woman wearing female Jean-Paul Gaultier, would you let her have a go on your bum?
If she wanted to, yes.
Probably.
Probably. No, there'd be no probably there.
Okay. Alexander Brunton, quote of the pod, they don't deserve it. They don't know what's going on. And then suddenly, they're fingered. You'll spend this whole podcast in tears.
And then suddenly, I can't even remember what it was all about. What was that about?
I don't know, mate.
Oh, was it dog?
Yeah,
I think it's dogs, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, if you missed last week's podcast, go back and enjoy all of that. Comments of the week. First up, Kai Reese. You know Kai, Flav. I know Kai. Kai's been helping me with stats for the videos that we're doing recently. And he's been wonderful. So thank you, Kai.
Knows his stuff.
He's fantastic. Kyrie says, I can guarantee that everyone stuck their tongue out last week when we showed the TikTok and one of us said, sticking your tongue out is sexy. What I love about this comment is that it made me think of thousands of people hearing that and going, sticking their tongue out. So what I thought might be fun is if the idea of being able to get thousands of people to do something as simple as whatever you want. Like, so to kick us off, I'm trying to think. Everyone watching right now, wherever you are, just do this. Just do that for me.
How do you do it?
Put your hands like that. Just do it. Just do it. Pause the pod and do it.
I'd also like us to do the.
We need our own one though. What are we saying though? Whoa. Slug. Slug.
Slugs. Moist slugs.
Wow.
Dry slugs.
Let's talk about that. Brian O'Meara. 15 likes on this. James is going to lose his channel one day after the wrong person hears the best of Flav's quotes. Maybe.
This is a wild west. You can't lose your channel. It's what's great about YouTube is there is no censorship unless you're proper wrong'un.
Yeah.
And despite what some people may think, I'm not that bad. There's much worse out there.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Now, patrons, if you aren't a patron as of yet and you want to get involved, the Moist Slugs are in the chat right now. The likes of Keir Watson, Ryan Ward, Rob Turner, Rufus Attrell, Adam Lewis, Jan Stiebel, Ollie Sage. We've got any new slugs? I think we've got some new slugs this week as well. We're nearly at 150. Who will be number 150? Whoever is number 150 will forever be known as 150, which would be great.
What do they get for their money?
What do they get for their money? We do a weekly mailbag. Every single week, and of course you get to join us live and have your imprint on the podcast itself. Oscar Stubbs also became a patron last week, didn't he, Flav? XSAS, he's in. Steve DeLash.
XSAS, Oscar Stubbs.
Yeah, he's got some stories, there's Oscar. Steve DeLash just loves great night out. Promotes club nights. It's all because you're always on DeLash with DeLash.
DeLash only makes love to high-end prostitutes. Very, very expensive.
Yeah. Adam Lewis.
He will not sleep. He will not sleep with normal women. He will only pay for it.
Yeah. And he will ask them before they start, go, hang on a minute, are you a normal? And you go, well, if by that you mean I'm not a prostitute. Yeah, right, I'm off. Yeah. You can enjoy the hotel room for the evening.
There's £3,000.
Yeah, Keir Watson as well.
You also get access to merch.
That's it. Tell them about it.
We've got a T-shirt called Slug Life on it, mm-hmm. And we don't make any money out of it. You pay what it costs to produce and whatever postage motif T-shirt suppliers need. But yeah, we make no money out of it. But you get access to this cheap but very high quality T-shirt.
Yes.
Jumper or a baby grow. You can have it on a baby grow. If you want a baby grow, Slug Life baby grow, we'll sort that out for you. If you want it on a mug, if you want it on a beach towel, maybe a little bit of tacky jewellery, you want it on that, we can sort it out for you. It's no problem.
Is that what you want?
Do you want some Slug tacky Life?
Jewelry? Are you into tacky jewellery?
Do you want Slug Life on a printed canvas? Because if that's what you want, We can make it happen, boys and girls.
Yeah. I think I've got it here. Let me just show the people.
People are... See, is this on the stream?
You did send it to me, didn't you? Here it is. I can show the people quickly. This is what would be available to you if you were...
That's just the T-shirt, though.
Just the T-shirt, but yeah, all sorts going on. What was it? What's up? There you go.
I mean, it's quite simple, isn't it, really? It's just literally just the word slug life. With a slug for the eye, but there we go.
Yeah. It's not all good in the world of the slugs. First of all, well, actually, let's get through this. Oliver Gilley might have to become a patron just to start the Awugs movement. Joe Tucker.
You don't have that.
Got to admit, you and Ollie Sage, he's in the chat right now. Joe Tucker, got to admit, I might have to sign up to Patreon just to become a jug. My clan needs me. HM McCarthy says, are you telling me I'd be a hug? I'd be winning no wars, just ending them. Lovely.
Yes.
Because there was a lot of talk about the jugs and the rugs doing battle. Speaking of battle, Hassan Majid got involved in the comments and said this, Flav, interested to hear your thoughts on this. Flav and James are creating social classes, dividing the slug society up based on disposable income and the ethnic backgrounds of names. We need slug socialism where the driest slugs of society receive some moisture from their moistest slugs and we all help each other out. No hatred, just slugs slugging around. He's edited this comment saying, the revolution has begun. Not even the power of Liverpool Cracks and Manglu United can stop us. Viva la socialist slugs.
Unfortunately, this isn't our doing, right? We're just observing from above. We've created this environment. We've just seen, I was thinking more like God, actually. We sound more like God. So we've created this environment and we've given you opportunity to craft it in whatever way you wanted to. And like all man, what you've instead done is create factions where you end up arguing with each other. The formation of government is originally a collection of people who come together and put one person in charge to serve the needs of everybody. The minute that starts happening in the jugs, the rugs, then we've got problems, Jim.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes they might look over there and go, well, they've got more than what we've got. Let's take that from them.
Yeah. Don't compare.
And to be fair, we have said moist and dry just because someone can pay and can't or won't. That's just life, boys.
I'm not sure. Did we make up moist? Anyway, the replies on this were funny. LJHD, Viva La Slugs. Barney 767, I will follow any slug preaching moistness for even the driest slugs. You really are our generation's slug Guevara. LJ replied, I have a dream that one day both wet slugs and dry slugs will not be judged on the moistness of our skin, but more the content of our character. I believe that one day we can all bask in the hilarity that is crying children at football games as one whole slug community without the oppressive nature of whether we are not Patreon members.
Look, I get it, but this ain't the way the world works. People who pay will always get more respect from us.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a way where we don't look like cocks here. But hang on, I'll just read the last couple of replies. Asan came back, the original person. One day we will all stand or lay beside one another, holding each other's tentacles in unity as we watch Sheffield United survive on the last game of the season. This is not my movement. This is yours.
This is ours. This is a football podcast. When has that sentence or anything like it ever been uttered in relation to absolutely anything, Black man, let alone a football podcast? One day we all stand together and lay beside one another, holding each other's tentacles in unity as we watch Sheffield United survive in the last game of the season. It's madness. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's odd. LJ, I have accepted Lord Chris Wilder as our slug and saviour. Don't know how he got involved in this. I want to cry tears of happiness, but it'll burn my little slug skin away. Oh, of course, he's still about Sheffield United. Look, I mean...
Also, there's salt in the tears, isn't there? That's what he's saying.
What I would say is, you know, moisties is where it's at. Is what I'm saying. Become a moist. Join the moist revolution. Join the moist revolution. Yeah.
I don't want. We had a good community here for a long time, right? Where everyone, there's no one of the few. It's not gone. So we can get it back.
Okay.
But I don't. This is always a safe place for everybody, no matter what they are or who they are.
That's so right? true.
And whenever someone came in and was mean, what did we do? We jumped on and say, "All right, less of that.
Less of that.
Come on,
yeah,
less of that." And that worked for a long time. I don't want the slugs to turn on each other. I don't want the slugs to turn on each other. What the? If I had to explain this to my dad, what I do for a living sometimes, like, he just turned to me one day, right, after leaving Ball Street, and he just went, "You don't like work, do you?" No, Dad, I don't like work. Who likes work, first of all? Like, you got up every morning at 7 a.m, get in the fucking van and go, fuck's sake, fuck that.
I'm trying to think, how do we resolve this?
All right.
Everyone becomes a patron.
What if for a short amount of time we give people? I don't know. Look, the how we resolve this is that you lot earn more money, so you can give it to us.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. If we're on 147, if we can get say we got to 300. We'll bring down the price for everyone. Easy.
Yeah, we're not interested.
Is that how it works?
Rich. Yeah.
I'm happy to have more people watching with the exact same amount of money. Absolutely fine.
What? Yeah, right. So what do we do, an offer period where we just, for the next month, we make it £2?
Yeah. Try it and will the dry slugs put the, you know, very, very small amount of coin where their mouth is.
So we're not earning any more money out of this. We are just simply giving you an opportunity to become, like, this isn't helpful in a way. It is socialism, but it's also not. It's
it's tricky,
look,
isn't it?
Choice is yours.
Not as easy as we thought. Not as easy as we thought.
It's tricky. Like running a colony of mollusks is not an easy process.
Exactly.
We're learning it too, guys. We're learning it too.
Dom Hayes says Flav is Marie Antoinette.
Okay.
What am I then? Let me know. Let's concentrate on the good that we brought, Chef Glue. Some people going, oh, hang on a minute, they didn't beat Chelsea. So obvious. Then everyone would be onto it, wouldn't they?
Ye of little faith.
Yeah.
Ye of little faith. What happened last night, Jim?
They won a game again. They won a Bristol City team ravaged by injury. Ellis Carr, just checking in. Not going to lie, James. As a Wednesday fan, I'm starting to develop a bit of resentment towards you, Flav, and this podcast for taking away the only good thing about this season with United using, he's used stars because he doesn't want to spell the word, winning again. There will be casualties with Glenn.
Yeah. 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 I mean, look, and people are criticising us, our magic and our influence over getting Sheffield United out of the relegation zone and remaining Premier League, retaining their Premier League status. Mm. You know, things are going to happen along the way. This is what this life's about, really.
Exactly. We're in the same league at the moment. So
we're not here to spread happiness to all fans. We're here right now. Give Sheffield United what they need to get out of the relegation. That's it. So yeah. Like you say, there will always be casualties.
West Ham playing Sheffield United, who aren't... I forgot to put them in the derby games this week. That's a good one. Come on, Sheffield United. You can have that one.
Like, so the weird thing about this, I'm actually looking to the fiction and go, like, come on.
Come on, boys. This is one. This is where we start. This is where the momentum begins. I've watched too many American sports films. I think that's the problem with this. Aaron Dillon. They're legitimately magic if Sheffield stay up this season. Someone needs to make a statue of James and Flav holding a spoon in front of a seagull in a tree and plop it right in front of the Blade Stadium. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, we need to do something special.
Yeah. Roy Keane is the type of guy, this Luciel Dizzaro, to be disappointed by an Uber Eats driver's lack of energy when receiving his order.
It's his job.
You gotta make it happen. That's your job. The special one. Roy Keane is the type of guy to say celebration slightly over the top after his wife has just given birth. That's your job.
That's your job. That's literally what that's for.
You were brought into the house to bear children.
Why are you moaning? That's what that's for. That's it, you know. Oh, it's too big to cut. That's what it's for.
That's what it's for. That's your
baby's your... come out of it. That's what it's for.
That's your job. That's what we brought you to the club to do.
That's why you were born.
That's why you. Yeah. That's how we. That's how the world exists. Is what world goes wrong that way.
So, I wasn't crying and screaming when I put it in there.
Yeah, I did my job.
I did my job. Are you doing your job?
You said that's your job. Dan Linton. Roy Keane is the type of guy never to ask, do you want me to grab you anything, when he nips in to pay for petrol. That's so true, isn't it? He pays the petrol, he gets back in the car, he turns on the exhaust and he drives off.
That is such a good... That's what's great. That's a proper British thing. No, maybe not. But just when you pull up at a petrol station, you always like look around. Anyone want anything? Some crisps?
Yeah, yeah.
Chocolate?
Anyone want anything? Not Roy. Yeah,
straight in and out.
Do you know what he would do as well? Because he's on the driver's side and the pump is on the left-hand side of the car, he'd stop the car, turn the ignition off, and look at whoever's next to him and go, well, go on. You do it. Get out and do it.
That's your job.
Oh, dear. Roy Keane is the kind of guy to kick up a fuss with the young bartender at a family meal. Sorry, this is Josh. At a family meal due to his pint not having a good head on it, embarrassing his children and wife in the process, who were pleading for him to just leave it. That's so good. The last line of that's why it got in. Just leave it.
Just leave it, please. For Christ's sake.
Oh, dear.
These are wonderful examples of social observation.
Yeah.
Because we all have seen that. We've all been a part of that scenario.
Just leave it. People have had that on nights out, haven't you? You've got that one mate you can't... When he gets too drunk, he just loves a bit of a ruck, loves a bit of a fight. Or wants to start something. And you're just going, just leave it.
Yeah, so many times. So many times, yeah.
Where are we? Just leave it. Morgan Heath. Roy Keane is the type of guy to tune into the James and Flav pod just in case they show a picture of a crying child Roy hasn't seen and laughed at before. Nicholas Sinanan. Roy Keane is the type of guy to tell a mother, are you going to shut that thing up? Are you going to shut that thing up? When her baby is crying in public.
Why? It's weird because I'm kind of agreeing with...
Is this a concern?
Really antisocial and really irritating. When a baby's proper going for it. Now, I appreciate that a baby can't help it. It's probably hungry or cold or whatever the fucking things babies cry about. You can tell I've got aspirations to become a father, can't you? But, you know, I mean, just if you're in a cafe or restaurant, just take the problem outside. Take the problem away.
Yeah,
don't sit there and so everyone else has to endure it. I didn't choose for you to have a baby. You chose to do that.
Yeah.
You chose that all on your own. So why make my world worse by a choice you've made?
It's tough, isn't it? It's tricky.
Take the problem away or I will.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I'm slightly concerned at how much, you know, how much transfer there is between your views and the joke views of commenters talking about Roy Keane, who has become... bit of a stereotype. Christopher Cohen. Roy Keane buys a pint in the club, then tries to square up. When he's knocked into and someone inevitably... Roy Keane buys a pint in the club, then tries to square up when he's knocked into and someone inevitably spills. I can't read it. Someone spills on the dance. The English was wrong. You got excited, Christopher. We've all been there. It's fine. Someone spills on the dance floor. Oh, got it. Ryan Shearer. Roy Keane's the type of guy to sleep with his eyes open.
My brother does that.
Does he? I had a girlfriend who did that. It was frightening.
Yeah. We call my brother Chicklids because he's got like, he's quite pale and his eyes are like, his eyelids are kind of red and you can kind of, when he sleeps, they're half open. It just looks like a chicklid.
Chicklid.
So we call him Chicklid.
Wow. Last for you, Jamie Cairns. Roy Keane is the type of guy to leave the restaurant because his date was 5 minutes late. Not my problem. We agreed on a time.
It's your job to turn up on time.
It's part of the day. That's the game we're playing, is it not? Amal Mehrotra, sorry. Roy Keane is the type of guy who would look down on you if you offer him a piece of your birthday cake. He'll eat it, but won't wish you happy birthday. Really good. Really good, Emma.
Overrated birthday cake, innit? Shit. Like, don't bring a cake to my party.
You do feel a bit awkward when you're around the office and you've got to offer, you know, you've got this big cake and it's only right that you, you know, it's a kind thing to do to offer it. But at the same time, you're kind of making it slightly about you. It's difficult.
I like the Ball Street, they had this thing where I'd never experienced this before, but on your own birthday, you're supposed to bring in treats for everybody.
Cut. Do you know, it's funny, we were talking about this. So Fam didn't tell, she didn't tell her work it was her birthday because she just couldn't be asked.
Fair enough. I understand that.
And I did that at Ball Street. And they all picked, so at Fam's work, they all, this is not a dig, it's absolutely fine. But at Fam's work, they picked up a couple of days later, they're like, oh my God, Fam, it's your birthday. And she's like, it's fine. Mine, I specifically kept it as quiet as possible because I know what it was like in that office when it was someone else's birthday. It was like, it got midday, someone realised it was their birthday because it was on Facebook or wherever it was. Everyone went, oh, fuck's sake. Everyone's like, right, what are we doing? We're getting a car, are we? Right, I'll get a car. I'll get on my lunch, right? We're getting a cake? No, just get a card. They're going to be asked to get a cake. And then, right, and then like about 4 o'clock, you know, everyone's gone round and signed it and everyone's got a pen when they're going to sign it and going, I mean, happy birthday. What joke have we got? Yeah, you look like Sandy Toxic. Happy birthday. Right, get there. Then it gets to you. And then, right, then our leader, who was incredibly awkward in these situations, then they go, right, guys, and he just go up to him and go, happy birthday. Is he cool? And then you're supposed to do a speech, are you? You're supposed to do a speech. And it was so shit, I was like, nah, no thank you. I'm fine.
Genuinely, it was started by the whiff. Wasn't it?
The whiff.
The stench. I'm going to say your name. God, the whiff. When she walks in the room, the whiff of... Do you remember this?
No, I don't remember. This is...
All right, explain after, because I'm definitely not going to mention her name. It's just a joke.
Okay. Oh, probably not.
Stench. It's the stench.
Right, anyway. Well, this is getting far too new. Finally, last one. Tom Gardner, Roy Keane is the type of guy to mysteriously meet three ghosts on Christmas Eve. Very good. Right. Where to now? So conscious take. We've got a conscious take and then we've got a... What wasn't put down as a can't take, but I thought it was interesting. Jack28org. I'm not sure that should be your name, mate, because that's obviously clearly your birthday. A couple of days before Flav's, actually. Day I propose. Anyway, conscious take. My theory on Liverpool's attack is that they used to have a week to come up with a move that would beat Virgil van Dijk and Gomez in training. And then they'd use that in the next match. They'd already beaten the best defender in the world with it. So the opposition's centre-back has no chance. Now they just beat some League One level centre-backs in training and it doesn't work in the next match. Matches would have been easier than training, but now the matches will be harder than training. Thoughts on that, Flav?
I like the logic. I like the logic, but it's bullshit.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Because these...
No, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. It's bollocks.
Thanks for the belt of thoughtless. Yeah, I like where you were going with it, but it's bullshit.
Yeah, you're talking. Yeah, it's
utter dribble.
If it gets you through, if it gets you through the day, Jack, fine. This I thought was interesting. Matt Bradbury, because
Jack, can you not watch the podcast anymore, please, Jack?
Are we banning him? We're banning Jack for a week.
No.
I tell you what. It's not that bad. So I tell you what, just turn it off now. Kind of the rest of this one.
you can't have enough. Yeah, I'll tell you where you can. If you become a patron, you pay for it.
Yeah. Triple the content. Link is in the description, guys. Matt,
just I just want to quickly on that. James and Flav community page. Louis, he says, I've got a plan. We tell the dry slugs that we're going to lower the Patreon cost. Then we just don't and make them pay £10 anyway. Jay Parler says, I second that.
So we'll take it down from what it was, and it's about £10 now, guys. If you want to become a moist slug, we're going for the low price.
It's not that much, is it? It's not that much. £7.
Oh, I can't remember what it was.
It seems that everyone gets charged different amounts.
Oh yeah, it does. Yeah. So you look, you might get it cheaper. go check it out. Matt Bradbury. So we were talking about the 9-0 Twitter account. Do you remember that last week?
Yes. The Southampton guy who set up a 9-0 because it's. People mention it gets mentioned a lot when
that was it. So yeah, just to explain that the 9-0 Twitter account thing is because there hasn't been a game since Leicester that one of the commentary team haven't mentioned the 9-0. Like, yes, it was historically bad, but also the commentators are so bad and just say the 9-0 thing because that's the last time they paid attention. What I'd also say is you haven't been. This is at you, Flav. What I'll say, Flav, is you haven't been beaten 9-0. The United game felt exactly like what Jim said. It was funny by the end. How wrong literally everything went. That's true. So are we banning the... You're not allowed to say 9-0 now. Problem...
I mean, I didn't anyway.
So the reason I kind of read that one out is because I thought this was interesting. Archie Keane said, how many more 9-0s can Ralph get away with before he'd have to go?
He'd not only go, like retire. Like... You can't concede 18 goals in two games without people going, what is going on in there?
I'd love to. So you're a football fan, right? You support Southampton, okay? Mid-table, upper mid-table if it's going really well, right? Five games. Every five games, you win three, you draw one, and you lose 9-0. Would you be all right with that? Would you be fine with that?
You need more than that. If you every 10 games, if you won eight, If you won seven, drew two, and lost 1-9-0 every 10 games, would it be all right with it? Where would you finish in the league? You'd probably finish top. You'd probably finish second, maybe second.
Yeah,
you'd
probably
top.
Do it right. That's what I was doing. Maybe, like, you know, or how long? What if it's like two wins, two draws, and a 9-0?
It's just what you do in the end. I think you just become okay with it. It was just, this is a quirk of supporting our football club. Every now and then we get done 9-0, despite being quite good. I think it'd be all right. I mean, after the game last night, where Spurs have lost 5-4 to Everton, I walked away from that game going, that was better. That was better than losing 1-0 to, or drawing 1-1 than Fulham, right?
Right. I think you're onto something here, Flav. So let's begin the football chat with the signal. Off you go. That's it.
Fucked it up. There we go.
It's fine. Football chat incoming, guys. So, Spurs play Man City this weekend. Huge game.
It's not huge, is it? It's not huge. Huge would suggest that one team has a chance of beating the other team and vice versa. That's huge.
Someone's confident.
What's likely to happen is we'll just get steamrolled by a brilliant Man City team. Like, no, there's only a Spurs fan out there that thinks we can win this.
Let's go back to the 5-4 first then. So how did you feel about it? Did you enjoy it?
I mean, I was furious because there's nothing worse than like playing a mental game and losing it and being knocked out of a cup. But I wasn't furious at the performance.
A lot of set piece goals, wasn't it? What sort of started from
there
set
was,
pieces?
Well, there was like the penalty, dubious penalty they got. Højbjerg made the first mistake I've ever seen him make at Spurs, so you can't be angry at him for that. There was a pen. And Winks had made a mistake in midfield that led to the winner for them from Bernardo. So it's kind of like on another game, they wouldn't have scored those goals. That's how I came away with it. And we played really well and showed a lot of heart with 3-1 down, came back to 3-all, 4-3, 4-all. Had an opportunity to go 5-4 up in normal time when Kane slipped and kicked the ball, hit his wrong foot. I just thought, fuck, I've missed this. I've missed a game where we're going for the other team. We're going for them.
Yeah.
My fear is Jose Mourinho looks at it and goes, told you, this is what happens when you attack. We're shutting up shop, boys. Because the reaction online after last night was nowhere near as bad as it was when we against Chelsea or I can't remember, it's Burnley or whatever. Yeah, nowhere Chelsea, near Chelsea's as bad because we started going, we tried to play, and yeah, it looked like we're starting to believe in ourselves. If that's the way we're going to play under Jose Mourinho now, and he can start add some of the solidity at the back, that we might actually see a much more entertaining Spurs team that fits into what we want to see.
Problem and is, his hand was forced though, wasn't it?
In what respect?
Like, you were always, what were you, 1-0? What was it, 1-0, 3-1, 4-3?
We went 1-0 up.
You went 1-0 up,
we could have been 3 or 4.
Yeah, of course you did, yeah.
We went 1-0 up without Kane, and we were just going for him. Every time we got the ball, it's like, go, go. It's fantastic. I was like, we was like in the WhatsApp groups, we were going, what the fuck is happening? We're attacking.
Mm.
Honestly, the first time we've seen it, like, unless it was like West Brom didn't really count, because West Brom, they're awful. They're fucking awful, right? But we're against Everton. Everton are not awful. And that's probably why we lost, is that they just have the quality to punish us for our mistakes. But we went for them at Goodison and we had success. And I think we were a better team. They had we had some players out. Dyer didn't play. Kane didn't start. Came on at 55 minutes. So it was just, it was encouraging. I had no issues, really. I was gutted that we lost in the way that we'd lost. But if we're playing football like that, I can deal with it and we'll win more than we lose. Do you know what I mean?
I just think there needs to be, like with a lot of the teams that aren't going to dominate games against the top six, or Spurs in particular, you just need to draw a line. There's two different types of games. You go, there's the Man City and the Liverpool games, maybe Chelsea as well. And then there's everyone else. Now just have a go. I don't think, obviously the sentiment will be much better under Jose. And I don't think certainly won't do any worse if they started playing that way. It's that urgency, isn't it? That was like the last, I saw the extra time and catched up on the goals along the way. And that's what I liked. It was like, there was urgency. You're passing the ball forward. You're passing the ball quickly. You're like committing bodies. It was like, enjoyable.
Do you know, so we've spent a good part of a year, literally this is our football gym, and you know this, this ain't saying anything, is sit back and break, right? But the fact is you get so little of the ball doing that, that you could literally, and most, because we were so defensive, the likelihood of us conceding was quite small.
Mm.
So you could have essentially watched Spurs like this on your phone, reading Twitter. Not that I did this, because I was always like convinced we were going to concede at any moment. But the reality is you could watch something and then you hear us win a tackle and then you look at the screen and 9 times out of 10, it peters out and you just go back like that. That's essentially how much fun watching Spurs was.
Yeah. Has the ball gone to Kane yet? Or has the ball gone to Son yet? Okay.
Yeah. That's it. So if you're not distracting yourself with something else, like most Spurs, like a football fan who really cares about things going on, they're not going to be doing that. You're so bored most of the time because you're watching the ball just go like that. Watching the ball. Attack, we get breaks down.
Yeah, like a lot of sideways later, passing as well.
5 minutes later, we might get another break to attack. It's just, it was so dull. And as Andreas said, the patron, Sluggy, says, what was much better last night, actually watched us, enjoyed watching us go for it, going forward. Amazing. This is a game we lost. That's how starved of good football we've been missing.
It is like, I think this year it's highlighted, that's been one of the sort of subplots of the Premier League. It's like, is how you're playing the game now. Like, I don't know if it's like, you know, it's become so, there's so much money in it now and, you know, everyone's a brand, but also, you know, the different ways of playing football, the people diving into that in a lot more detail now, that it matters. It really does matter how you play football. Like, and so the Leeds thing, like anyone who was sort of turning up their nose at Leeds at one point, that's why everyone's going on about it. And they will get, and I swear you see it, like Spurs, when it was the Pochettino thing, I reckon you got a load of new fans from that. That period, the initial start of the internet, of YouTube, it was Arsenal and they played good football and they were kind of underdoggy, and so they got a load. I reckon they got a load of fans from that. I remember doing the we went to and filmed a mini doc for Bull Street on the march when it was to Bayern Munich, the second leg. We were chatting to a couple of fans there, and they were like, I haven't seen us win. I've been supporting this team for 15 years. I haven't seen us win one title. And it was like, right, okay. Like the point is that the way that you play matters. You know, like now, I don't think Arsenal would be bringing in as many new fans. You know, Spurs, if you continue on this vein, it's not, what's the point kind of thing? Because it's the same for any team that's getting into, say, the NFL. You're going to want a team that excites you. So Leeds, I think it could be Leeds over the next 5-6 years if Bielsa stays, because they have that way of playing.
No, look, I was critical of Leeds, not because of the way they played. It was never about that, ever. I think it wasn't okay to criticise Leeds because they played good football, and it was just over the top the fanfare that was created. And when Glenn Hoddle, like I said on the pod previously, gave the man a match to Leeds' his philosophy. That's one of the easiest games to play against. It was so easy because they were so awful and gave us so much space at the back. So Bielsa needs to be praised for when he can combine defensive solidity with that kind of attacking prowess and be a little bit more, deciding when to attack. Yeah. When he played against Leicester, I watched the whole game I tweeted after it and I said, it's fantastic. They were brilliant. They defended really well. They gave away some opportunities, but Leicester are a really good team. Mm. And they deserve to win that. They could have won by more. It was 3-1 in the end. So that was it. That was perfect. If they end up playing like that and add a couple of players in as well, they'll be a force. But it was just what I saw when they come to Tottenham. It was easy. When they played Man United, it was easy. It is what it is. But we need to be entertained by the sport. For so many people, football is a distraction. It's something that they have in their lives that makes their lives better, whether it's being part of a wider community, whether it's actually enjoying the football. It adds a lot to people's lives. And it's important. Mm. And when that actually becomes damaging to your life, not that it hurts directly, but it's, you're not enjoying it. It's a release for a lot of people, and it's actually adding to more stress. Then that is a problem.
Yeah, it's such an investment of time, isn't it? And so I think now, and also in we live in a society now where you can compare yourselves to other teams so much more readily. Like if you think back in the whenever, like say even early, say the 90s when we started watching it, you had Match of the Day, you had the league table. You had like CFAX and that was it. Like you weren't looking at all the stats all the time, seeing who's and like hundreds and hundreds of articles. Like that's all fine. But that leads to people comparing. And like everything in our lives now, there's this propensity to compare with each other. And so that's why it does kind of matter, because if you're not, there's nothing gets over the high of the win. Like,
no.
Like we play. I watched QPR Blackburn at the weekend. Watched it with my dad, and it was a terrible game. It was terrible, and it was just there wasn't any real quality. And we scored the scrappiest goal ever. We fucking won, and it was great. I don't care. So if you're not winning, then you need something to lean on a little bit, don't you? And I think that's what was good about yesterday, and what will probably be kind of distressing about the Man City game. Although the Man City game is a little bit different, just because
I'm happy to sit back.
You kind of, yeah, that's it. The expectations are different, aren't they?
If we play like that, yeah, the expectations are massively different. If you allow Man City to play, they'll destroy you, and because they're so good. But sometimes you have to set up. No one would blame Jose Mourinho for setting up defensively against teams like Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, teams that can hurt you, and controlling the game that way. That isn't a problem, and you accept it. It's just when you're doing it against Fulham at home that it becomes a bit of a problem. Because those games are the ones you expect to win and see a bit of flourish and skill and some of your better players turning it on. It's not the games against, you know, the big ones, especially away from home, that you expect Heung-min Son to run past four, five players and score. So it's like,
Patrons, by the way, get in your, if there's a football question that you want us to answer, I'm going to go for the Derby games in a second.
Rob has asked a question.
Go on. I was going to say, if we have, okay, go on, answer that one.
We just said Ivan Toney rotation option for Tottenham, and Jan Stibor says they got a rotational striker in the summer, didn't they? Spurs don't rotate their strikers. We need a backup striker who's happy to sit there and do nothing for 95% of the time. Harry Kane will play if he's not even fit. That's the level. So if Ivan Toney wants to succeed, he's not going to come to Tottenham. And he's going to come up with Brentford anyway. So he should stay with them.
Unless they bottle it. Huh? Unless they bottle it. I'm just saying, unless they bottle it. There's no excuses. They have to go up. They might bottle it.
Mate, their system is so good, and you well know that even if they bottle it this year, they'll be back again next year. They're like...
I mean, everyone's back again next year, aren't they? But the... Do you know what is really annoying? It's like, you see these different like stats things, and then you go, okay, who's good? Right, Brentford is it? Ivan Toney's good, is he? Right, great, cheers. They have no excuse. If they don't go up this year, they are... huge bottle jobs. Don't get triggered by that, Brentford fans. That's just a calm take. You're clearly the best team in the league. You know, if you don't win it this year, you know, let's look at history. Last season, you know, bottled it, didn't you? Let's be honest, you bottled it. It was there. These are facts. And then playoffs. You know, QPR won the playoffs. Zamora. Brentford have been in the playoffs 10 times, is it? I think they've lost every single time.
Really?
But I mean, I'm sure you'll go up this year. I'm certain you will. Just don't bottle it.
You're more concerned about it than they would be.
Not concerned about it. So I'm busy enjoying Queen's Park Rangers winning games again because Warburton's listening to me. Right. It's that time. It's the time for... because there are a few knocking about.
Not everyone got it though, did they?
Not everyone got it. Now, I don't... I feel like we've gotten too nuanced at all of this. Right? Because there's a guy called Chris Wood, Chesnoid Gaming. He streams Football Manager, and he is... I've heard from good sources that he's probably one of the nicest people on the planet. We didn't get it, did he? Because we looked at the games for the weekend. Oh, for God's sake, where is it? Hang on. There it is. Look for the games this weekend. Look, Leicester-Liverpool's there. So just to run through them. Leicester-Liverpool, Palace-Burnley, Man City-Spurs, Brighton-Villa, Southampton-Wolves, West Brom-Man United, Arsenal-Leeds, Everton-Fulham, and I forgot to put these two in, but West Ham, Sheffield United, come on the Chef Glue, and Chelsea versus Newcastle. Chesnoid went Leicester versus Liverpool. Brendan Rodgers derby at King Power. Now, I'm going to let him go because I've heard he's a good guy. What I found hilarious was the fact that there was a reply underneath from Elliot Calendar. That just said, think about it. It's like, come on, mate. Think about it, please. Can we think about it when we're doing the derby games, please? Guys, can everyone think about it? Loved it. Two likes on that bad boy. Even in the comments, some people aren't getting it at the moment. Stanley Stearman, just check it in. I've recently realised my Twitter is private. meaning James can't view any of my tweets. I've been sending Derby game suggestions in for months now and crying myself to sleep at night at never being mentioned on the podcast. This now puts me at a crossroads whereby I'm now acutely aware that anything I send in going forward may be seen. So if I'm not featured, I've got no one else to blame but myself. This aggressive pressure will surely spur me on to great things. Really looking forward to the Emil Heskey derby at the weekend. Cheers, all the best. God bless. What derby, Stanley? We do have one or two derbies. And of course, this is the Ben Spanton-Walker partnership with Derby Games. Rob Reed. Oh, yeah, this is, I thought this was funny. Rob Reed said in the comments as well, just imagining a new listener trying to figure out what the hell is going on when James first refers to one or two Derby Games this episode. He sounded like he was filleting a slug. One of the perks on Patreon. Get on there, guys. Anyway. AK the producer, good old AK, still waiting for that picture. Still waiting for the picture of him smiling properly with a spoon.
He's probably sick of being told what to do all the time.
I'm not telling him all the time. I'm asking him to do one thing once. Anyway, he came up clutch this week with the Derby Games. Superb work. Smith's gone quiet, hasn't he, actually, on the Derby Games? Must have not seen it.
Did he ever respond to Pen Pal?
No, I don't think he did. That's very much like Pen Pals. AK the producer, listen to this, laugh. Southampton versus Wolves is the strange manager name when translated derby. Ralph Small Hut for a Rabbit versus Nuno Holy Ghost.
That's amazing.
That is superb. I wish I had the applause here. I don't have it. Unbelievable. Ooh. Ben Spanton Walker, the Ben Spanton Walker of EastEnders fame, came in with this gift straight underneath with a rousing applause at the Oscars. What a moment. Congratulations, AK the producer. Great work.
That might be one of the best.
83 likes on that. 83 likes. Fantastic. I think actually AK said, coming from you, Ben, that means a lot. Something like that. That was class. Rob Turner. Chelsea versus Newcastle is that I would sleep with both your strikers. Derby. Wink. What's with the wink? Don't need that. I don't need that wink.
What? You're sounding homophobic right now, mate.
No, it's not that. It's just creepy.
I dust protest too much.
I'd sleep with both of them. Wink. Grim.
It's not grim. It's just saying what he'd want to do.
That's fine. Look, I mean, Callum Wilson, sure. I don't get the Giroud thing. I don't think he's attractive.
Just
personally.
Pretty, isn't he? Pretty. If I had to...
We spoke about this on Twitch, actually. I was like, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Loftus-Cheek's up there as well. And Callum Wilson's a good-looking guy.
Loftus-Cheek. A couple out there that just, if they want your woman, can't do anything about it.
Yeah, off you go.
Like, in fact, enjoy.
Unless Rob, let's know. Werner. It's Werner. He wants Werner. Interesting. Fair enough. Okay. Nico no Kazoku, I think. Everton versus Fulham is, if you add two letters to our combined abbreviations, it becomes an eventful derby, which is what we're hoping for. Fair enough. I'll give you that. And this one's weird. I don't know if you know about this guy. Con UK. So Southampton versus Wolves is the Francis of Assisi derby. So then he's just highlighted this. It was also said that Francis of Assisi, of course, could tame wild animals. One story tells of a vicious wolf in the town of Gubbio that was killing people and sheep. The people of the town were frightened and didn't know what to do. Francis went to the town to confront the wolf. At first, the wolf growled at Francis and prepared to attack him. However, Francis made the sign of the cross and told the wolf not to hurt anyone else. The wolf then became tame and the town was safe. Thus, the Saints versus the Wolves is the good. Francis of Assisi derby.
Very niche.
Very niche. Good. Jack Johnson, Arsenal versus Leeds is the Guns N' Roses badge derby. Philip Brown, Arsenal versus Leeds is the remember when I said this back in November, yeah, I told you so, Derby, which I'm not sure is bang on here, to be honest. He says, he apparently said in November, Leeds versus Arsenal, the Owl managers are currently getting a lot of leeway in the media, but if results don't improve soon, there could be a huge shift in their public perception. Although I guess there's, yeah.
I kind of get where he's getting at. He's going, I see where he's going, but he's actually the opposite of what he said.
I just wanted to almost check that with someone because I was like, is that the case? Arteta's kind of gone, whoosh, whoosh, and he's sort of levelled out where he probably actually really should be. So it probably worked out for him.
So who are Arsenal playing Leeds this weekend?
Yeah.
At Elland Road? No, it wouldn't be. God, that is going to be at an Elland interesting Road. Game. That isn't going to be in. Because they're, I don't know if you've been checking the XG.
Oh, yeah.
But Arsenal's has been pretty poor. Again.
10 men, didn't they, the other day?
Pretty poor.
And yeah, actually the Villa game as well. Yeah, they were struggling. Tom Cribb, Manchester City versus Tottenham. The Owl manager outshines and has a greater legacy than our club derby.
It's true for Jose Mourinho, for sure.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Well done. Just calm that one down. Not round. Good work. Joe Maguire, Villa versus Brighton. Yeah, so let's have a look who's scoring for Brentford this season, derby. As Maupai takes on Watkins.
Just a quick one, like because Maupai, Watkins, it's like if you want to get a move to the Prem,
yeah,
you go to Brentford from the lower league team.
Do you know what's a little bit annoying about the Brentford thing is about what? Tony. We were in for him as well. He obviously chose Brentford. I know, actually, we couldn't afford him. We offered like, I can't remember how much they offered, but they offered more and got him.
But he would take less and go to Brentford, really, wouldn't you? Because, you know, route to the Premier League, isn't
yeah,
it?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a little bypass. It's like it's one of those airport escalators, isn't it? Just jump on.
But
that.
What I want to ask you is, as someone who watches Championship football, out of the three, who was the best striker?
Tony's on course to score the most. He scored the most at this stage in comparison to the other two. I think, was it 10 mil, Rob? Thank you. I think it has to be Tony just because of the reliance on him, the lack of not the same amount of creativity around him. And he's like, he's got like 9 assists and 22 goals. It's a joke.
That's fucking hell. He also, Watkins had Benrahma as well, didn't he?
That's it, yeah. Oh, shit. I think Maupai might have had Benrahma for a season as well, to be honest.
It's great. I'm just looking at Ollie Watkins now. Like, Aston Villa, Exeter City, played a couple of years at Western Supermare, and then Brentford just went, yeah, he's great. And he is.
It was Dean Smith. Dean Smith bought him at Exeter.
But
Exeter's youth products are mad. Like, Ampadu at Exeter? I feel like it was.
Right, it rings a bell.
They know how to do it. It's that fresh year.
Maupai was from a foreign team, when he was plucked.
He's French, yeah. Mate, they've been doing it for years. Gray, Andre Gray, before that, Tarkowski, Konsa.
Tarkowski, of course.
It's mental.
I liked, my favourite thing was Adam. Adam Rosenbaum, who we used to work with Ball Street, big Brentford fan, season ticket holder. Transfer deadline day, watching all his good players just get killed every single one. And he's just sitting at his desk watching. He goes, I can't do this anymore. We're just going to be this continually rolling out talent for other clubs to just come and buy. It's so depressing.
That could be the difference this year, is the fact that like Tony's not got bought in January. You know what I mean? Like that's generally what happens. It's like, they're so good. Oh my God, there's no way they can be still. They've taken our best striker.
Yeah, I mean, they won't be able to keep him if they don't go up. Someone will definitely come in for him.
Well, no, I think he'll stay.
He should stay. He's given him an opportunity, but what's he going to cost? Because they paid £10 million for him, which is a lot.
I think Ivan Toney was released by Newcastle as well.
Yeah, he was. He was a youth product. I remember reading about it before. But if he costs £10 million, they're going to want to turn. He'll cost someone... If they want, if it being contracted to Brentford, if they want to buy him, you have to pay upwards of 35, 40 million. Which is a big risk.
But yeah, I mean, maybe.
Would anyone come in for him?
I guess it's like, yeah, well, because with Maupai and Watkins, they have proved they are good enough, you know, for the level.
Definitely.
So and he's as good as them. So it's, you know, when people dip into the championship, I think still there's some people that are a bit nervous about, you know, can he make the step up? So, but with you know, the history that's there, it's quite clear that he is good enough. What's amazing as well is he was in League One last year. Like, he was top scorer in League One, but, you know, so he's made that jump up to the championship. What it highlights to me is that actually, like, if you're a proper good goal scorer, like, forget what level it is, you'll be able to keep bouncing up. Because it's about scoring a chance, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. And finally, last one that I thought was all right. Stanley, Southampton versus Wolves is the Hampton Derby. Is South take on Wolver.
Good.
Yeah. Petty Acts. Right, football's over. Quite brief this week. Quite brief.
Good.
Petty Acts, Duke. So get your petty acts in the comments next week. Duke, petty acts. At work, when asked to make teas or coffees, I would deliberately make bad teas so that I would no longer be asked to do the dreaded tea run at break.
It's good. Same.
Hang on a minute. Why has he chucked that in there? I didn't even read that. P.S. Every packet of crisps expire on a Saturday. Is that true?
I did not know that. Can that be true?
Oh, my God. My head hurts. Is that true? I didn't even read that.
If it isn't true, he's a genius because he's basically going, what? Because it could be true for some reason.
You know, that's so funny because I was thinking, like, we haven't got any slug facts this week. Goals and facts is dead. What I was thinking was, like, just give us, I mean, maybe it's dangerous going to get so many comments, but just give me, like, a mind-blowing fact. Like,
yeah,
You know, like, what was it? Sharks are older than trees.
Trees.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, let me read something to you. In the manufacturing sites, we work on production weeks, which starts on a Sunday. A spokesperson for Walkers explains all product produced in that week will have the same best before date. As the week ends on a Saturday, the best before date will always end on a Saturday. There you go. It is true.
Wow. Mine, that's just shocked me. Lewis Lawrence.
Danny Galloway's just thrown one in. You can't change the volume of the voice in your head. You can't. I can't scream in my head.
Oh, my God. That's so true. God, that's horrible. I like that as well. That was perfect.
Shit, he's
like,
got another one. Oh, I don't want to blow a load here, but it's Danny Galloway says, you know exactly what everything would feel like to lick. Yes. Look around you. Look at your mic. You know what that would be like to live.
That's so weird. That is so weird.
You genuinely do. Like, I know what this would be like to live. Hang on, let me check. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought it would be. I've got this algae repellent agent.
That's weird.
Should I lick that? That's not for me, by the way. Fish tank.
Yeah. I thought that cleared up.
Yeah.
Right, Lewis Lawrence, petty acts. Hi, lads. Just checking in with a petty act that sprang to mind after the Muller Corner story. Check out last week's podcast to know more about that. In the first year at uni, one of the girls hated drinking / partying. He used to make noise complaints to security when we were pre-drinking. Once we found out it was her, upon returning home after a night out, I used to take her Muller Corners from the fridge and eat only the chocolate toppings from the corner, then return the cornerless Muller yogurt to her shelf on the fridge. 1-1.
Wow.
That is petty.
That is petty.
I'm okay with it. Jake Lunn. Petty acts. I once stayed at a friend's halls at uni for a few days. One day I asked one of his flatmates if I could use his chocolate spread for some toast. He said no, because it was his special chocolate spread. Fine, I thought. Fair enough. However, after coming home from a night out, I was left alone in the kitchen. I saw my opportunity and I took it. I plucked a spoon from the drawer and I ate the entire jar of chocolate spread. It wasn't even that special. I didn't say anything. I simply just dropped £2 coins into the empty jar.
That's weird as well, Jake. If someone done that, you'd be like, that's odd. Putting the coins in as well.
I don't know. Coins is like, look, there you go, get a new one. You were being petty and thus I was.
Yeah,
I had
but
no,
why
I had
does
no
it,
choice but to do this.
But why has it bothered you so much? Let it go. Like you're it's a much more mature and wholesome thing to just let that go.
Nah. Ben Moore. Just checking in. Petty act. In my second year of uni, I lived with this bloke who was a massive twat. Engaging in standard crap housemate behaviour, like leaving food out and never cleaning up. One evening on my way out, I slammed the door by accident, and this guy whose room was next to the door went ballistic on the group chat. I then decided that this could be a good form of entertainment every time I left the house. He would then send these long angry messages on the chat that progressively got angrier and more aggressive, which I would ignore. But then when we saw each other in the kitchen, he wouldn't say anything or ask me to stop, just glare at me while I was cooking my pasta. I never stopped slamming the door and would ask my mates to do the same whenever they came round. I would have stopped if he'd asked me face to face.
Yeah. When someone's being an arsehole, and especially like people get very trappy on text or through Twitter, people are really brave behind the security of your, you know, WhatsApp or whatever.
That's true.
So fuck him.
Yeah. Flav, just shimmy to your right a bit just to block that sun out.
Sorry, mate.
Sorry. There you go. Perfect. I think that's your lot. Get your petty acts in for next week. This is interesting. Flav, wow. What a moment. Well done if you've made it this far, because it's going to be interesting. Flav's Barber, this is called. It's not a bit.
Apostrophe S, James. Apostrophe S.
Yeah, I'm busy, mate. All right.
All right. Right.
Long time, such a prick, Harry James. Long time slug, first time comment. I used to work in a barber's round the corner from the Bull Street offices.
Oh, I know exactly who this is already.
Bull Street offices, and a lot of the guys used to come in, not to brag, but Adam on the ones and twos used to ask for me. I think I went in there once. It was fine. It was good. One day, I was starstruck by the one and only Flav Bateman. Walking through the door. He sat in my chair and we had some great chat, and I thought I'd given him a lovely one back and sides with a bit off the top going left to right. Standard, left to right.
Right.
Left. I finished up and asked him how it was. He replied, yeah, that's fine, in a slightly dismissive tone. Fear set in. He then pushed his hair from right to left. I realised I'd done it completely wrong and it looked fucked.
No, that's not true.
But Flav, being the geezer he is, this is nice, it didn't say anything and even left a £3 tip. They were quite expensive, that barber's as well. Flav,
yeah, they
very
were.
Generous.
What was it? What were they called? It was called, it was opposite
like,
the pub.
It looked a bit like rock and roll, didn't it? It was like, I feel like there was like a,
fuck.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
Anyway, years later and it still haunts me to this day.
Right, Harry. That isn't true. I don't think I've ever had a haircut in my entire life where I thought that's not how I want it at all. It's just not the way I am.
What?
Huh?
You've never had a haircut that you've walked away and you've not been totally happy with it?
I've always been totally happy with it. I'm fine.
That's very rare.
Listen, you can't get a back and sides with a bit longer on the top wrong. I don't think. I've never experienced a barber that has done it wrong. Actually, there was a couple of times, actually, now I'm coming to think of it, where I go in, because Mikey's barbers in Devizes, right? And they've got five of them, and there's one that's not as good as the rest.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it?
And I was like, oh, don't get him, don't get him. We've got a one in five chance, don't get him.
Yeah.
And while I came away happy, I was like, this isn't as good as what the other lads would have done in there. But I rest assured, Harry, promise you, I thought the haircut was fine. It's always fine. That's what I'm saying. That's good. Yeah, thanks. Fine.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what else I'm supposed
perfect.
To do.
Perfect.
Don't let it haunt you.
Perfect to really finish off the conversation. Just make it perfect. Perfect. Like, yeah. Please don't ask me again because I'm actually soothing right now. I would love to know people's thoughts and experiences in a hairdresser's, because I think for men, it's a very difficult space. A very difficult space. Well, I know exactly what you mean. You sit down and you go, oh, okay, I want him or her. And you sit down and you're calculating it and you're thinking, hang on, there's 3 here. If she's quick with him, and she's nearly done on him.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm not gonna, and you think it either works out or it doesn't.
You start calculating it, don't you?
Yeah, and then you just you can't go, I'll never be that guy. Is it right if I wait for her? think that's really
rude.
There are
some people in this barbers. They just sit behind the barber. They wait, and they have no. They don't care. So I'm going to go with him. That's it.
Do you know what would be nice is if behind the wall there was like a sort of sign for each barber's chair, and you could just go sit in that one.
Well, you put your name down. I have a little chalkboard and you put your name down.
That would be good.
Our mate Craig, who used to work at Bull Street, he would go to a chair at barber's that had a quiet chair where you weren't spoken to.
He
hated having to go and make small talk. I think it's fine. It's also fine if there's silence as well. It's fine either way. But he's like, don't talk to me. I don't want to speak.
Ollie Sack says, Jim's had some nightmare trims. And that is you being able to write that down and me being able to read it out is what you can do if you're a patron. So thank you, Ollie. I'd love to see your fucking hair. It rattled.
Mate, if it's anything like his voice, I'm sure it'd be superb.
Yeah. Children crying. Nathan Dibbs, kids crying story. I was at White Hart Lane watching one of the Europa League games, and at the pre-game warm-up, the players were warming up shooting at the goal. Soldado... brackets knows the size of our trophy drought.
No, that's not necessary.
Yeah, there's no need for that. Had a shot and smacked this kid square in the face. The child was in tears and the dad went to comfort the child. The ball was thrown back towards the pitch, but before it reached its destination, it returned to the child, hitting him on the back of his head. One of my favourite Soldado moments.
Yeah, for the record, this children crying thing, I'm not... It's not getting... Look, people getting it messed up. It's not about getting pleasure from a child crying. There's nothing good about that. It's about football destroying the child's hopes and dreams in that moment. That's what's funny.
Yeah, I think you've misinterpreted that, Nathan.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you this funny story. It's kids in real pain.
High quality rumours. Jacob Suchesny. Probably an Arsenal fan. One time at school, a boy was absent for about 3 days. So get your high-quality rumours in, by the way. Was absent for 3 days. So my friend and I decided to start a rumour that he was trying to do a cartwheel down the stairs and broke his leg. We had no contact with the guy outside of school, so had no idea what had actually happened to him. But every time a teacher called his name in class, one of us would say, oh yeah, he broke his leg trying to do a cartwheel down the stairs, sir. Oh. By some absolute miracle, he came into school next week with a cast on. His broken leg. I can't remember how he broke it, but the rumour that we made up out of thin air got taken as truth. Amazing.
Good.
Not much to say on that. I just thought it was quite remarkable. Joe Hughes. I think Joe's a jug. Just checking in. Strange rumour went round my year in year 9. My friend once claimed his dad was the man who killed Bin Laden. His dad had moved to America. We all laughed it off. Of course, it wasn't true. Only issue was that someone overheard us talking but misheard. The next day, the whole year thought my mate was the son of Bin Laden. Got to the point where our head of year had to call an assembly. Wow. Cracking rumour inadvertently caused by me talking too loud. Love the pod. And last one for this week. Cass, 1994. High quality rumour. I moved to the US when I was a kid, so apologies for not being a British school story. Had a substitute teacher in high school who was rumoured to be a former employee at Medieval Times. This was a place that was a popular destination for school trips, as it was a big arena where the employees would dress like knights in armour and joust and shoot bows, etc., while all students would sit in the stands and watch. Each knight had their own coloured armour, and each section of the fans would be assigned a colour to cheer for their particular knight.
Sounds all right.
Sounds decent. The rumour was that the substitute used to be the infamous Green Knight and would often win his jousts and sword fights. One time, my friend talked back to the substitute and under his breath muttered, "Calm down, Green Knight." The sub, in American accents, calm down. I can't do it. Forget
calm
it.
Down.
Calm down, Green Knight. The sub immediately sent him to the principal's office, which only added more credibility to the rumour. We never found out the truth, to be honest.
Good.
And there is one more, but we've been going on for a while, so I'll save it for next week. Oh, this is a new bit I would love to get off the ground. Nicknames that stick, which we dipped into at different times, but just hilarious nicknames I would love. So get them in the comments, please. Nicknames to stick. Ryan Mulligan. Nicknames to stick. In our first day of secondary school, one of the lads in my friend group ordered chips at the canteen during lunch. One older bully type lad from another school shouted chips at him when he was walking down to find a seat to enjoy his chips. He was known as Chips. He's known as Chips McKenna for his entire school life and still is Chips. Chips is now 30. Have you got one? Go on, go for it. If you've got
No, just reminded me of a story of this geezer. I used to go to school with called Jamil, and we had a really strict head of year called Mr. Digby. And the way our school works is it had two big buildings, and there was like a joining building that was smaller that connected the two blocks. And teachers were allowed to walk across it. So you had to get the quickest way to go across rather than go all the way down. Anyway, we were in the classroom. And Jamil just opened up the thing, and his name was Mr. Digby. Okay. And he opened up the window and he just started going, Digby! Digby! Imagine we're being at school, everyone's supposed to do the lessons, and you can hear this voice, not Mr. Digby, Digby! so funny. Mr. Digby come flying in the room and he didn't get caught, he didn't own up. No one grasped him. Digby!
We had a couple at uni. We had one guy, we had too many Jameses, and the third James that turned up. I was little Jim, there was a big Jim, and then as a third James, he turned up late and because his room was flooded, so we called him Floody for 2 years. But then there was another lad who there was like the at halls, there was the woman coming round to say, you know, is everything okay? Is everything okay? Are you happy with your room? Is everything okay? Kept going along. And like a couple of guys were in this one lad's room. His name was Andrew. And the woman came in and asked them, is everything all right with your rooms? And two of them went, yeah, absolutely fine. And this Andrew guy goes, oh, actually, I've seen some of the other rooms. The other guys have got a shelf. I haven't got a shelf. And he got called Shelfie. He's called Shelfie for years. I love that. Like the worse it is, the better it is.
We had my brother's Adam. We was on the European away trip, Spurs, and it just happened that he was always like pressing the buttons. When you got on the trains, you had a button that activates the doors, and when you walk through the carriage, you had to press a button, and he was just the one that was pressing the buttons, and he was called Buttons for the rest of the holiday. Adam Buttons.
Buttons. That's class.
All right, Buttons. Any more you want to press or what? So he didn't mean anything. It was so... He was like, what?
Calm down, Buttons. Yeah.
Calm down, Buttons.
Shelfie, because that was it. It's like, it's a shit nickname, and he obviously didn't want it or like it. First day of uni, brilliant. Right, let's have a look at this mascot then. It was the mascot of Tijuana. Here he is.
Still love that badge. That badge's amazing. Right, you know, I looked it up on these little dogs. They're little hairless dogs. Yeah, I thought it was Doberman. They're not. They're called
Chihuahua. It's not a Chihuahua.
No, it's not. They're called Wulu or Tulu or something like that.
Oh, right.
They're little hairless dogs, basically. No hair.
Right. Okay. Well, there it is. And apparently they're quite muscly. But what is the story of the mascot and the badge? Fortunately, Daniel Burgess was walking his dog in Tijuana on a Saturday morning. And it was proper a misty day. He couldn't see anything. His dog was clearly heard something in the dust distance using his supersonic hearing abilities and bolted towards the noise. Daniel followed quickly and saw there was a footy match, a cup final, in fact. It was a corner, and to my horror, my dog had got right into the danger zone. I've always known as the penalty box. The ball came in, and above everyone else, my dog rose like an eagle. He put in an absolute bullet header right into the top bins. I saw it. Tijuana saw it, and the opposition saw it. The whole crowd saw it, but the ref didn't, on the account of the mist that he'd mentioned earlier in the story. The goal stood, and Tijuana won the cup. My dog became an urban legend, and their official mascot and badge. Still don't know how the goal stood. There you go. And we were looking at Latin quotes. I feel like this, I think this should be it. Quiz King. Latin quote for the badge. Quid mihi et tibi visit, which is, what have you won?
Good.
I like it. Because we haven't won anything, but we're actually on the offensive, which works for me. Get the opponents questioning themselves before a ball has been kicked, says Quiz King. Great work. And that is another podcast, Flav.
Good.
Done and or dusted. Any final thoughts?
No, just thank you for your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come back next week.
Yeah, appreciate it. Any comments from the patrons? Any final statements? Let us know. Like we said, you know, if you want to become a patron, basically we do a mailbag each week. So if you want to do that, then please do. It helps us. But if you don't, don't.
Yeah.
Joe Barrow's just written Jesse Lingard. I think he's an exciting youngster and he's going to do big things. Okay.
How's Frank? I don't know.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, is he all right?
What did you
he's sick, wasn't he, at the start?
Frank is. Are you going to sick on the floor? Did he eat it up?
Why is he saying did a sick?
Sick's not there. Sick's not there.
Okay. Why'd you call it a sick?
Did a sick. It's funny, isn't it?
Okay. Right, that'll do. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the like button. Make sure you check in. Get involved. We'll see you next time. Thanks, patrons.
Bye.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.